Today marks the first official episode of My Closet Kink, where each month I highlight a specific kink or fetish that is voted on my OnlyFans by my OnlyFans. I then find somebody who is in that community, actively living that lifestyle, and interview them, talk about resources they have, talk about how they got started, any stories that they may have. And December's was actually foot fetish, which is perfect because especially during quarantine, as I discussed in this episode and as I have talked about on all my other platforms, you know, we are watching more porn than ever right now, right? Because we're all trapped in bed, trapped on the couch. And so the number one most Googled fetish is actually foot fetish. And then number three is high heels. Number four is nylons. And number nine is legs. And so they all somewhat fall under the same umbrella. And so I'm so excited that December's ended up being foot fetish. I feel like it is so appropriate. I sit down with my longtime good friend, Underwoman, and he talks about how he kind of found his way within the community. One thing about this podcast, and I've said it before, but I really want it to be informative and intriguing, but equally is heartwarming. Not only do I want to highlight that kink and fetish and educate people who might be interested, but I also want to make sure people realize that there's a person behind this topic, that there's a person behind these stories, and you actually probably know one of them. So I hope you enjoy. I apologize that you can hear my birds in the background, that I'm working off of very basic equipment, that my laugh can sometimes get obnoxious, but I hope you get something out of it. And please always feel free to send me a message, give me feedback. Anything is welcome. So, without further ado, here is part one of two of my interview with Underwoman. Underwoman, how are you? How's your night?
I'm doing okay. It's been a long day.
Why is that?
Just a lot of work, a lot of running around.
Okay.
And then, of course, COVID.
A lot of stomping around.
Yes.
A lot of trampling around.
No. Unfortunately not.
Anyway. So yeah, this brings us to like the first episode of my podcast officially. The first two were kind of a semi-introduction of what I wanted it to be about, a little bit about me as well. And also, as I said in the last podcast, that we are operating on the most minimalistic of equipment. So please bear with us. We just have my MacBook Air sitting in between us as we're talking. We were originally planning on passing the phone between us, but this actually didn't sound too bad, so please let us know if there's any issues. But let's dive right into it. So we did a shoot together, what was it, like a week and a half ago now?
Yes.
How long ago was it? Yeah, a week and a half ago. I had all of my fans and OnlyFans vote on what they wanted to see over the next few months, what maybe kink or fetish that they were most interested in learning more about, seeing pictures and videos of. And actually, I chose you right off the bat because I low-key love you the most. And I was actually really excited to shoot with you again, see you again. And so yeah, that's how this one came about. Okay, so I have a few questions here just laid out to kind of get our bearings and whatnot. And then I also have a few viewer questions. And then I'm sure it will evolve from there because we talk for like 8 hours every time you're here. Okay. So before actually we go into number one, like, do you want to say a little bit about yourself and basics?
To keep it short, I'm Underwoman. If anyone has seen my content, I'm always in the all gray, head to toe. And I'm a fetishist, So a lot of people wonder if you're a slave, a master, a dom, a sub, switch, or anything like that. And I've thought about it, and I think what describes me most is fetishes. And I think you'll learn more about me as we trace through the questions. But yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we will also dive more into what all of those specific things mean, because someone who maybe is not in the world like ourselves would not know the distinction between all of those things,
Okay.
or even know what some of those things are. Anyway, so when was the moment you discovered this about yourself, like the very, very first moment?
I think it goes back as far as my memory goes back. I've always had a fascination with feet, and it's not something that you choose to have. And I think that's for all fetishes. It's something that you pick up, something that comes along in your life, and it probably influences you later to a sexual degree. But I've always had a fascination with feet, and you can say as far back as like 5 years old. And I feel like, maybe watching a babysitter walk past back and forth while I'm on the floor playing with toys, that can probably be a kickstart.
That was a moment for you.
It very well could have been. And what it was it was just an admiration of seeing a woman's foot and it form in the shoes she's wearing. So like her posture and how it translates down to her feet. And I noticed later on, maybe about 10 years old, watching wrestling, that's when I discovered it was a sexual thing.
Okay.
So
I
I
think
was
we did
watching
briefly
a
talk about this once.
guy versus girl, and she was destroying him, but she was doing mainly like kicks and stumps.
Oh, that sounds great.
And my antennas went up when I was watching it, and I knew it was something I was familiar with or guilty of dreaming about or
Not
playing out.
guilty, but yeah.
And seeing it on TV during a wrestling match, I was like, okay, wow, there's more to it as far as like what I feel on the inside. And from that moment on, I knew it was something that was a sexually driven thing. And I feel like it's only getting worse by as time goes by.
That's how all of us naturally evolve. Anybody who consistently watches porn, you're like, as you get older, or as you watch more and more porn, you're like, okay, now this stuff I'm watching is extremely shameful. And if the FBI ever got a hold of my computer, I'd be a target. That's a natural progression of everything. But when was, like, okay, also, I'm curious, when was the moment? Yes, of course, you realize that, but then you realize this is not traditionally normal.
I feel like probably the same time. The moment I had my discoveries were it was also a moment where I knew it wasn't everyone's discovery or everyone's experience, because very naturally I hid it, and I would have I guess meetings or communications with myself like, wow, why do I like this? Or I like this, but where does it go? Where does it end? Does it get worse? How can I acclimate it into my normal life, if there's a such thing as a normal life? And you saying that to yourself, you're already admitting that it's outside of the norm. So I feel like at the discovery of the fetish itself is also where I discovered the abnormality of it, like right then and there.
Do you ever like talk to your guy friends about it, or girlfriends, whoever?
I
Any
actually
friends?
don't.
No, did you at that moment? Is that how you discovered that you're like, okay, this is, I'm not,
I
like, I nor
didn't.
I hate using that
I
word, but.
didn't then, and I don't now. What I did was I used observation, and I just tried to see if anyone else was like me.
Yeah.
And they kind of slipped up on their stealth.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like gave away clues. And it really wasn't that much.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, guys that are more expressive than me, maybe they would slip up and say something during conversation of, oh, you know, I'm dating this girl here and this is what we do or whatever like that. And it's never came up. So.
Okay. So what do you think your guy friends' reactions would have been if you would have spoke up about something now and back then?
Well, back then, we're talking about pre-computer or
right.
pre-information age.
True. Very true.
So right. people okay. were a lot less closed-minded then because they didn't have the resources to look at or study or research.
You could also argue the opposite, though, in which that was very taboo because no one even knew that much about it.
That's exactly what I mean.
It was so
taboo because you didn't have things to research at the fingertip,
okay.
at your fingertips.
Okay.
And so things you don't know, you continue to not know.
Right. Because yeah. ignorance is bliss, of course.
Because you're personally not searching for that information, or it's not being put in your face in a pop-up ad form, or, you know, like this viral video that someone is bouncing around and you can't help but see.
Right.
So back then, I don't think it would have been well received.
Right.
And I was probably right about that. And I kind of feel the same way right now if we're talking about just my circle of friends.
I mean, I didn't want to interrupt your flow at all and what you were saying. But I think it's still, we have all the pop-up ads in the world. We have all the porn in the world. We have all the exposure to drugs, violence, and sex that we have ever had from age 6 to our age, right? And older. And it's still considered a taboo, weird topic.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why, because there are so many there are many resources if you know how to find them. But the people who really are looking for them in the beginning are met with backlash and are met with even just they're too afraid to speak out about it for something even simple. It doesn't matter. Like, I feel like having a foot fetish is the number one fetish in the entire fucking world. Exactly. Exactly. And I have not recorded them yet, disclosure, but I was going to give a bunch of statistics in the beginning. you will have those already. And people still hide it and people still look at it as a bizarre, which is bizarre to me.
You know, I wish it wasn't that way. To piggyback off what you were saying about it being easier to express those things now because you have everything
not,
in front of you.
Not necessarily, should be. Yes, correct.
I think people view it as it's in front of me because it's viral, but it's still not me and it's not my friends. So we can laugh about it, joke about it, or...
Right. Okay, or I get that.
Have water cooler conversation about it because it's not us.
Right.
So I think that's why...
And so gossiping taboo is and still, putting other people down.
I think that's why the taboo is still there, is because people who are still not into whatever the topic is, they are still viewing it as, okay, that's not me and my friends.
Right.
So it's just a topic piece for us.
Right.
But for everyone else, it's something for us to make fun of or point fingers and laugh or talk about.
Yes. And this is a totally different conversation, but just kind of, again, to piggyback off what you're saying, it could be the same as, and I mean no harm at all by saying this, also disclosure, but with someone who has an STD that, you know, we're not familiar with, like herpes is a very traditional one that everyone stigmatizes as being hilarious until they either have it themselves or know someone who does or have a partner who has it and they don't or whatever. Or having, I don't know what the correct terminology is, I'm trying to be politically correct, but having a family member or a loved one, whoever it may be, who has just a mental disability.
Right.
And everyone makes fun of that. Or even having someone in your family who's gay, they all make fun of that until they all
until it someone hits home.
Exactly. Until it hits home. Exactly. 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 Okay. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. Otherwise, we'll get into a whole nother podcast, which will happen in the future. I'm sure we will. okay. So, third question is, what was the first munch or kink event that you went to? And for the listeners that don't know what that means, a munch is basically like a gathering of the minds in the kink world at a specific location. And it could be for X, Y, Z, and there beyond reason. But yeah, it's bad.
A few years back, I just got curious. And so I just started Googling like dungeons and like foot fetish parties and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across one that was being hosted at a fetish dungeon. And I just decided to go. Like, I mustered up the confidence to go, which I initially didn't have because mm-hmm. I never saw myself doing something like that. It took me a while to, like, speak to myself and say, okay, we're not theorizing this or fantasizing. We're actually going to get up and go. And I want to say the event I found, it was enough time in between that moment and the actual event for me to just really plan it out and like talk myself into really going to it.
And was it through FetLife?
It was not. It was, this was a while ago. So this was when Yahoo groups were popular.
Oh gosh.
So that was a good amount of years ago.
Okay.
And, actually, correction.
Yeah,
Yahoo groups were kind of old, but I saw people talking about it when you Google search it like a keyword.
Yeah.
Information from a Yahoo group came up, but we were already beyond that as far as like platforms we use. Right. We were already beyond Yahoo.
Yahoo groups. I've never heard of that. Yeah. That sounds so old school.
Because Yahoo groups was almost like the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
So again, when I Google searched, I got keywords that I typed in and it brought me to the Yahoo groups that were probably like 4 or 5 years old. Like they're like entries that were 4 or 5 years old. And, it was just a group of people speaking about dungeons that they knew about in their city.
Okay.
Or our city. And I decided to go because the event, a new event was coming up soon. Like I'm thinking like a week and a half or 2 weeks from that point that I discovered it. And I just decided to go.
By yourself?
Yeah.
So you went to a newcomer meeting?
It was set up in a way where you don't get the address to the dungeon until you confirm.
Right.
That you wanted to go.
Okay, gotcha.
So I did that, got the address, and I guess kind of like instructions how to behave.
Yeah,
there
that happens. And, yeah, know, of course. Yeah.
Protocol. And so I got that, and nervous as can be, I walked in, knowing who would be in there too.
Right.
And really low lit area. Can't really see much in front of you. And
do I know which one you're talking about?
You go along to the back and you have a seat on the bench and you either voyeur or you talk to one of the dominatrix about having a session.
Right.
Or a combination of both if they're busy. And that's pretty much what happened. I sat there until someone was free, and then a dom came up and introduced herself, and we chatted for a few minutes, and then we went and had a session.
Did you tell her it was your first time?
I did.
Yeah. I'm sure she ate that up. I would love that. I would totally eat
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think the mentality of fresh meat.
Oh, of course, works, for anybody,
works
anywhere.
In many different industries and many different like facets of the world.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she saw that on me.
Absolutely.
And, but she took care of me though. She was definitely informative and, she was guiding me through what to expect in the session, what to expect from the, what to expect from the world as far as the sameness concern.
Yeah.
And for me, she's responsible for catapulting me into continuing to stay in the scene. Mm-hmm. Because I very well could have gone to this fetish party or this foot fetish party.
Right.
And it could have been one and done. Like, I could have got the experience, decided if it was the experience I was looking for or below my expectation, mm-hmm. and bowed out.
Yeah, well, that's what a great dom does.
Yeah.
Though. Absolutely. So I commend her thoroughly.
And at that point, I was unaware of what a good or bad dom does because all of it was new to me.
Exactly. Which is, it's so hard going into the world. Like, you want to blindly trust because you've known you've been into this for a very long time. Right. You had the courage to actually go out and do it yourself. Right. And I'm speaking for anybody doing the exact same thing that we both did. And you just, you blindly trust everyone because, and actually most people are amazing. I would say 90% of the people are absolutely fucking amazing. But, you know, you have your little weasels everywhere you go. Right. And so finding someone really wonderful that not only is trustworthy, that not only is just a good person, but also vibes with you and what you're looking for and your energy, like, that is just hitting the jackpot.
Right. And I'm 31 now. So when I went there, I was really young. So I'm pretty sure that was really impressionable for her to kind of like mold me or tell me what she needed to go through the session. Mm-hmm. And for me, true enough, it worked because she was the one to, I guess, make me continue and make me become a part of the scene, not mm-hmm. just a customer.
Yeah.
So I think for her it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a really difficult balance, even from like the dom side of even what we'll kind of go into and discuss later with the instance that I had. You know, every dom is different. Every sub is different. Right. Correct. And it's difficult navigating those waters sometimes. But then again, every once in a while, you just naturally have that connection. But it can be really hard. It can be hard asking, okay, well, is this cool? Is that cool? Is this cool? Is that cool? How it should be. But then maintaining that, like, dom persona.
Right.
It,
and she did really well with it. Yeah. And she also told me outside of the foot fetish party we were at that she's a dom at a local bar. Mm-hmm. And that I should come out and check her out, mm-hmm. or just check out the scene. And I did that very next week. So I took it upon myself to just go and, you know, kind of relax and watch her work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see how the audience reacts with her.
I was going to say, absolutely, yeah.
And it was a really nice vibe. So I decided to come back. But at that moment, that's where Underwoman was born. And so when I came back, I came back.
Specifically that moment?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, so when I came back as Underwoman.
Oh, my goodness. But you had the same outfit the whole time?
Yes.
Okay.
From day one till now, I've always been in the all gray.
Okay. And what made you think of that particular outfit?
I'm a very detail-oriented person. And when you have someone trample you, if you're wearing white, and I'll use extremes. If you're wearing white, you're going to get dirty extremely fast.
Yeah.
And white never comes out how it is when you buy it. So it doesn't matter how many times you wash it. Mm-hmm. You'll have to go through buying new articles over and over again. Mm-hmm. If you wear all black, it's going to be hard to see the footwear that you're being trampled by.
Yeah. And it does fade.
And I think that's
a
big part of it for a lot of fetishes. Mm-hmm. They like to see the boots or the heels or whatever's being worn. So I decided to go with a really neutral color that will, you know, kind of show anything at any given moment. And it was
gray. The correct
things,
yeah.
It was gray, so I decided to try it out. And it looked good on film. And I just kept doing it.
Yeah.
What I picked up when I went to the bar to watch her perform, mm-hmm. was I was kind of seeing how I can fit in if I kept. Okay, so yeah, I wanted to go there to see if I return, can I fit in, mm-hmm. and how can I fit in. And my immediate idea was I would like to come here and possibly get trampled by the different women that come there every week.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because that's not something you can get at home. If you're dating someone and they are okay with your fetish, they might trample you, but you might get tired of that. Yes. Content-wise.
Yeah.
Of course, with a partner, I appreciate it when I get trampled by them and I don't get tired of it. But we're speaking of strictly from a content standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You do kind of thrive for like variety.
Content meaning if you're photographing and filming it?
If you're
monetizing on it?
Yeah, if you're monetizing, if you're one of the figures in the scene.
Okay.
If you're a dom and you're looking for play partners,
mm-hmm.
your content looks better when there's more people.
Yep, porn will tell you that any day, yeah, every
because,
day. Yeah.
Because what you're doing is you're giving your audience or your potential audience different looks of you,
right.
or different canvases that you're working with.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely.
So immediately I saw myself returning and just capturing the moment with as many women I can get to trample me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went with it. From that moment, like, I'm gonna wear gray. I'm gonna see if that color works as a backdrop so I can see the footwear or mm-hmm. see the women trampling me better. And it did, so I just stuck with it.
It does look great, and you yeah. look so like unassuming and innocent. And I feel like actually women do naturally gravitate towards you. I feel like when I was actually, I don't distinctly remember the exact night and exact moments. I was with my girlfriend at the time, right? Wasn't I with her?
Yes.
Yeah, the first night.
That was about 7 years ago.
I know that was 7 years ago. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember. It might have been closer to 8 because I moved to the city. Yeah, like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, 8 years ago.
To be safe, it might have been 7 years ago because I think I started going there 8 years ago. And I didn't meet you immediately.
Maybe it was like 7.5 years.
Yeah.
I was in the city for like 7 years. And I started shortly really diving into the kink scene when, like 6 months after being there. Oh, yeah. Okay. Everyone, we've talked about this. These are my birds. They're being wildly obnoxious. Get used to it again.
Yeah. So I tried the gray. It worked right away. And I stuck with it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so 8 years moving forward, here I am still with the same outfit.
I can't believe that. So we really did enter the world, like, on official terms at the same time.
Pretty much. Yes.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Because you really did come off as someone who really knew their shit.
And I did.
And I hadn't seen you at Munch's,
lot,
right?
But I knew a lot from personal experience because yeah. I haven't been to any Munch's.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen you at any of those.
And up to that point, I didn't know too many people either.
Right.
So I feel like I knew a lot, but it was just my personal lifelong lessons and experiences that I brought with me.
And through that.
Onto the scene.
And through that specific avenue. Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting because we all are interconnected and we all know about each other and we all know each other rather intimately. We share very intimate pictures usually yes. on that website. But very specific people go to the Munch's, very specific people go to certain events like right. we're talking about. And then also the obvious specific events of like what fetish or kink you're into. But we all are aware of each other.
Right.
Which is very interesting.
And I'm willing to bet it's the same in every city, every of state, course. Every country.
Yeah. With any community.
Yeah,
period.
Every community,
doesn't
there's
matter.
There's the regulars.
Yeah.
And they make up majority of the community. And then you have the stragglers that come in to see what it's about. And they either become a new part of the community or they come and go.
Right.
But both of them happen.
Right.
So.
Very much so. Very much so. So Okay, thank goodness we're actually working off of my computer, which says we can only record 5 minutes at a time, which is a blessing and a curse because we can't naturally flow through this conversation. So that's why it might seem like the conversation just has these weird ahs, whatever. But it makes us naturally move on to the next question or the next topic because, as I stated in the beginning, we can talk for 7+ hours. Like just straight through. So my next official question was, how did you get into making your own videos, which is on Clips for Sale, right? Clips for Sale.
I'm on Clips for Sale, and as a teenager I've always been extremely envious of guys with websites, mm-hmm. foot fetish websites.
Are there specific ones outside of like the traditional porn ones nowadays?
There were. A lot of those guys are no longer around. It could either be health reasons where they can no longer do it. Personal life might have gotten hold of them, like marriage or a bad divorce.
Many things, yeah.
Because we are normal people outside of this community. So, and that's not to say they don't still do things like in their personal life, but as far as the scene, they're gone.
And there's public and private. Yeah, right. Very much so.
So I can say, in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, when, you know, the computer age started coming forward, there were a lot of people who had their own foot fetish websites. And whatever content they shared with you or sold, it was strictly on their website. Mm-hmm. And there was one in particular called Foot Fantasies.
Okay.
And I was just in love with the structure of the website. Like his interface and how he had everything set up. I was really in love with that. And then he had a new model every 2 weeks. So okay. He would draw you in because you'd want to come back.
Right.
That second week, right, to see the new model working with them. The new set of photos is anywhere from maybe like 15 to 30 photos.
Okay.
Of these women posing on him in like really dominant poses.
Yeah.
And, then there will be a video that you can buy from him as well.
So he'd post the videos for free. Okay.
The photos were free. The video you'd have to buy.
Okay.
And it was a good business tactic because all of his photos are great.
Mm-hmm.
And
like professional.
For me, it gave me the impression that like, okay, I can only imagine how it looks in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And that would just tempt you to buy the video.
That is such a great idea.
To an extent, I kind of copy his flow, like his business flow. I do take pictures of all of my video shoots. And I post that to kind of like egg people on. Entice people to go further and get the video or visit my clip store. I don't think I'm as good as he is, but
it also takes time.
I have
time.
Nothing but time.
So, right, yeah.
So we just said it at the same time.
Yeah.
Time is key.
It is hard work.
And I can always refine myself or brush up on it and like make sure I hit my mark,
mm-hmm.
which would be as close as possible to what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer around. Financially, sometimes it's not worth keeping up a website.
Oh, so it's fucking hard.
That could be a reason, too.
Yeah. Takes a lot of work.
I'm not sure if something negative happened to him, like a health reason.
But his website is no longer even available?
Yeah, he's been gone for some years now.
Okay.
Is
there a way to like reach out to him? Like fan website?
So,
like, are you okay? I miss you.
I am a part of a foot fetish forum.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure we can, you know, thread through the community and figure out who he is.
Yeah, I believe that.
I want to say he was on the West Coast in like California.
Okay.
But yeah, you can definitely through a forum ask the right
questions.
Why has no one
reached out to him though? If he was so popular, I have my favorite porn stars, and some of them are no longer around. But I want to be like, I love you still.
So with forum web. So when you're a member of a forum website, there are different departments of that website. So one part is just, you know, cycling through the photographs that everyone uploads. there's usually an area where people tell stories and like talk about how they came into the scene, mm-hmm. or like yeah. they just share experiences when they were growing up or as kids.
Yeah.
And I never really go through that part, but I'm pretty sure in that department of the forum, people have made topics like, where are they now?
Okay, and that's so interesting. Probably asking I love about that.
People that are no longer around.
There needs to be a reality TV show, Where yeah. is this porn star now? What a great business.
Yeah, even,
I'm going to get on it.
Even if you're...
No one steal that. I'm going to get on it.
even in a sports forum, I'm pretty sure there's someone asking somewhere, of like, course. What happened to this player?
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's no different, no matter what industry you're talking about.
100%.
So I'm pretty sure we can find him if we wanted to, like narrow down you could. And ask about it.
Especially in today's world, you can find anyone, anywhere.
Yeah, but that's definitely where I gained my interest. Just seeing other people with websites and just being really, honestly, jealous of the access they had to like doing what they love doing.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to grow up and try to emulate that. I just felt like I didn't have the background that would support it.
At that moment.
Yes. Or even now. And background meaning like friends and family.
So part of the reason that I wanted to start this podcast, aside from being involved in this world and having such an affection for it and such an admiration for it, was because I had brought it up to my family numerous times, and they would always kind of brush it off and be like, okay, you know, give me the impression that they understood, but brushed it under the rug, right? And so when I started working on this project of my podcast and connecting it to my OnlyFans and also connecting it to the kink and BDSM world and the connections and friends and loved ones that I have within that community, and approached them about this, they were very abrasive and close-minded, which I don't totally, hate on them for. I understand. I can put myself in pretty much anyone's shoes and understand to some degree. But that also further lit my fire and being like, okay, hey, all of these, again, as we discussed in the beginning, like fetishes and kinks and people are here for a reason, because we all feel, many of us feel the same way. Also with COVID happening, porn consumption has increased, loneliness, depression has increased, unfortunately, suicide has increased. And what are we all doing nowadays? We're all sitting behind a computer, talking to people from behind a computer by ourselves, and either masturbating or drinking or doing drugs, right? Basically. So what if finally someone has the guts to be like, hey, ma, pa, friend, brother, sister, whatever, loved one, and say, hey, I have always been really drawn to feet. Can I talk to you about that? And they're met with such hostility. And that really touched me on numerous levels and also made my heart sad on numerous levels. So long story short, to wrap it up, basically, that's why I wanted to start this. So this particular question really resonates with me and hits home. Talk about, expressing this to your family members, what they have said, your friends, which we briefly discussed in the beginning, any dating, headbutting you've had.
For me, many, many people who choose to stay anonymous, it can be for many different reasons, like friends and family don't approve of it or mm-hmm. wouldn't approve of it. Race, religion,
right? Yes.
Profession.
Yes.
A lot of times, some people work places that, if discovered, they'll be fired mm-hmm. or even banned from that. For example, a doctor, or a teacher, if they're found doing anything that's considered sex work, they could have their license taken. doing things in the scene is serious for some people because the repercussions are serious. And you can't really measure that for someone. They can only measure it for themselves and decide how serious it is. And I haven't really had a negative feedback, I guess you can say, from women I've dated. Mm-hmm. I've been fairly fortunate in that department.
What's like the first what's the conversation you have, and when, and how does it go?
Well,
I can give my when I tell people on dates, hey, just so you know, but my experience is completely different, just right. As a woman in general.
Well, starting off when I was younger, it wasn't so well or so smooth because, again, we weren't in the information age.
Yeah. And
things that were taboo, they didn't move up or blossom. They stayed the same level of taboo that mm-hmm. they always were. So when I was younger, maybe a teenager, you would run into a woman that thinks it's weird. And they'll express that it's weird. And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
As I got older and learned about myself more, got more confident with myself, I think women read that and they pick up on it. And if you can tell them about yourself and be transparent and, you know, have your chest out instead of being wilted while you speak.
Yeah.
They read that. And
in
so,
the right way.
Yes.
Let's clarify that. Correct.
Yes. Yeah. If you're not arrogant
mm-hmm.
or extremely flamboyant about yourself to a point where it's kind of toxic, women pick
no
up
extreme,
on it.
No extreme, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No left or right extreme.
Right.
Women read that and they're usually okay with it if you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Because psychologically, you're expressing yourself to a point where you look like you're totally fine with being who you are. And that persuades people to be okay with it as well. So as far as dating, I don't really have a problem with it. When does it come up? That's an interesting question, too, because there's never really a certain time frame.
I agree.
Where I tell someone, hey, I have a foot fetish. You definitely don't do it as an opening sentence
mm-hmm.
because it's easier to be judged that way. They don't know anything about you and you're just blurting something out.
Mm-hmm.
But my fetish is strong enough that I can't date someone that can't accept it.
Yeah, I understand that.
So for me, it's not when it comes up, but it will come up. So how do I bring it up? I guess when it comes up varies, but I guess that's just whenever the conversation about sex or telling me about you or you telling yourself about, I'm sorry, I'm getting mixed up. The conversation when we're telling each other about ourselves.
Yeah, when it becomes more intimate. Yeah,
and it gets a little bit more comfortable and sex becomes a topic.
Yeah.
That's usually when I bring it up.
Okay. So. And it's so weird hearing you say this because I feel like anytime I go on first dates with guys, I'm just entertaining myself. If I'm being completely honest, I'm hoping that somebody really tickles my pickle, flicks my bick, right? But usually I know it's not going to happen. And, or if it does, then it's great for a night. And the second I know that quote-unquote date is going south, that's when I'll be like, all right, so just so you know, I like this and I do that and what have you. Also, then I like the change in their face of, oh really? I like being that interesting date, the interesting girl. But when I guess in a roundabout way, I was trying to say, I don't know when I've actually had a normal healthy conversation and when it was within that relationship that I'm like, hey, this is important to me because I know it's important to me. My parents fight me on this all the time of hey, it's not the only thing that matters in a relationship. But I'm like, yeah, but I also want them to do these things. Then I'm going to do those things to them. And it's super important.
That's a really good point. it's not the only thing that matters in a relationship.
Not at all. No.
But when so here's the thing with fetishes in general.
Mm-hmm.
A fetish is usually an abnormal or inanimate attraction you have to something, and you're driven by that. So if everyone had fetishes, the word fetish wouldn't exist because you wouldn't need the word to label a special group of people.
Yeah.
So just from the definition or the exclusiveness of having a fetish alone, it's a strong passion and it's a strong thing that drives you sexually. So for me, it's more than one thing that matters in a relationship. But if you don't have this one thing,
of course,
I can't date you.
Yeah.
Because that's how you turn me on. That's how you get me started. And then we can't even talk about the additional things like compatibility or like-mindedness with financial aspects and, you know, other parts of relationships. We can't get that far.
Let me ask you this, because this is something I think about as well. And actually, I get quite frequently. So maybe I am going on a date with someone and they're like, I've always been interested in this. I want to learn more about it. How do you feel about being the teacher instead of just having somebody who inherently knows?
That's a really great question, and it's split down the middle.
Right. I feel you.
I actually enjoy teaching someone that has never been around a guy with a foot fetish.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a positive reaction to it.
Yes.
Obviously, we're eliminating teaching someone and they don't like it.
Right.
It's not even worth speaking about that.
Right.
But it's really fulfilling to teach someone who's never been with a guy with a foot fetish and they take to it and they learn it quickly, or they learn how to do it really well and they like it. But there's also a really nice thing to meet someone that kind of has like dominant personality traits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be sitting across a table or sitting on a couch with them or a coworker of theirs, whatever the case is. The other side of that is meeting someone that naturally picks up on the foot fetish. And that's just as fun as teaching someone, because it depends on where I meet the person, whether it's a coworker or, you know, someone sitting across the table from me or sitting across the couch from me. You'll just look at their personality traits and how they interact with other people, and you'll notice something really domineering about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take that and I'll say, they'll probably learn this right away.
Well, that was
because it's just a part of them.
My next question is, like, do you tend to date people within the kink world, or do you find them outside of it?
So as far as dating goes, unfortunately, I don't date people in the kink world. Mm-hmm. I haven't come across them.
That you want to date? Or that you just don't explore that much with? Because it's like an anonymity reason?
So I do remain anonymous in the kink world for personal reasons. And the reason I say unfortunately I don't date people in the kink community is because you would think those are the people right at the source. So those would be the people that would relate to it and, you know, affix to you better than someone in the vanilla world.
Yeah.
But at the same time, whenever I do stuff in the kink community, I'm 100% professional about it. And if I link up to do a video shoot or a photo shoot with someone, even if they're attractive or not, I never go there with them. Now, they can go there with me, and they have. And that's kind of where I would step out of being Underwoman, and I would go into being my vanilla self,
mm-hmm.
Give or take. Because I've had offers I didn't take, and I've had offers I did take.
Good for you, yeah.
Because it's just being human.
Yeah.
So will I date someone in the kink community? I don't look for it, and I don't intend to. I have dated someone in the kink community, and that's just because they pulled me out of Underwoman and they pulled me into their realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened from there. But it's a tricky situation because when you're dating someone that comes from the kink world, you're also submitting your anonymity.
I know we were talking to you. We were goofing about this earlier.
You're submitting your personal choice to be anonymous.
Yeah.
I should say.
Yeah.
So I feel so special because it's a big deal.
I'm sitting here with you.
It is. To submit that trust to someone anonymous is a big deal. And so I see that the same as being sexually involved or dating someone from the kink world. For me, I personally don't do it because I want my reputation as Underwoman to be as high as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows women who are vetting me to get resources to say it's okay to work with this mm-hmm. guy.
Yes.
And, you know, not have any negative feedback come back to me about it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the only reason I don't.
And just the mysteriousness of it. Like, I mean, having like that superhero, you know, quote unquote.
It definitely has a superhero Clark Kent vibe to it.
Yeah.
But that's just my side of the story. If someone was interested in me or they wanted to take it a step beyond Underwoman, I'm not against that. But that's going to be the ball in their court. Like, mm-hmm. it'll never be something I would pursue myself.
Okay. Yeah, it's always it's difficult. I go back and forth. I've only had two relationships, more serious relationships within the kink community. And they were both wonderful. Love both of y'all. Still, I do. But then I date in the vanilla community. And I'm like, God, but all these people are so boring. And I hate being the teacher. The reason that I ask that is because I'm just so sick of, I am so glad that there are many people out there who want to learn more. But from the woman's standpoint of it, usually it's just like, I want to fuck this interesting woman versus I want to know more about her. And right. We've discussed this before. So I kind of steer away from the vanilla world and actually am more geared towards the kink world in that way. Okay, so what I kind of want to go into next is I have some questions from my fans and OnlyFans, but then we had discussed in a previous conversation of us just hanging out, whatever, about the difference between toes, fishnets. Also, we discussed equestrian gear, and I just want to know what like the novelty is, what the draw is, I guess I should say, between all of these specifically, because you gave me really interesting answers for all of them. So
I think the very basic attraction to feet is something that all foot fetishes share. Only from there it branches out.
Yeah.
So it depends on who you are personally.
Of course.
And what you're interested in. And then you begin to branch off. I also have a shoe fetish,
mm-hmm.
Which is directly related to having a foot fetish. And the way I try to describe that is when you see a woman in a wedding dress, a club dress, an evening gown, they all have different fitments and different cuts to them
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to express a different, they're trying to give off a different expression.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is with shoes. So like, if you have a pair of high heels that kind of like show a little toe cleavage
mm-hmm.
or,
little peep toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peep toe or something that shows a little toe cleavage or the heel is like 6 inches. So it forces mm-hmm. your arch to arch more. Those are things that a dress does for your full body. Like certain dresses have cuts so they reveal your hips more or your cleavage more.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll have a slit, you know, up the side or up the front to reveal your thighs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's no different with shoes. So someone that has a shoe fetish, they're looking at all those same things. Even if a woman has like a pair of Doc Martens on,
it still
applies.
Yeah.
And me personally, my explanation for it is like with a Doc Marten boot, it's so well crafted and like proportioned mm-hmm. like the toe box has the right amount of space in it, mm-hmm. and the shoe looks really nice if you have proportionate feet to your height.
Mm-hmm.
And they structurally, they hold up. So like the boot doesn't fall over after a few wears, or
no, it definitely doesn't
lose its shape. And that's something guys with foot fetishes look at. We look at that. The same thing with sneakers. Like,
so I need to go shoe shopping with you. You can tell me what one's going to last.
And yes, it would be an adventure. I would probably be more into it than you would be.
I love it. I'm not a big shoe for, well, no, I can be. I can be. Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. I'm pretty.
We'll film it.
stereotypically, you have guy and girl go into a mall or whatever, and the guy is always like breathing in deeply because he just wants to leave,
mm-hmm.
and he's tired of sitting there as she tries things on. It would probably be the opposite with me. Like, okay. I would really enjoy the experience of just seeing someone try different things on, because it's doing something for me mentally.
Absolutely.
So.
You know how I would want to turn that around? What would make me be into it mentally?
I am interested to know.
You know, I feel like you already know.
I actually don't. I have an idea. I have an idea.
What's your idea? What's your idea?
I'm thinking you would get a kick out of seeing what gets a reaction, but I could be wrong, okay. And I think I am wrong.
I mean, yeah, I would like, I, my mom would love listening to this, because my mom is like, you just want to get the biggest reaction out of people. You just want to, you know, go for the whatever. I don't even know.
But isn't that what it's about? That's what most things are about. Like, the things we buy, we do buy for ourselves.
Yeah.
We wouldn't like it if no one liked it.
Yeah.
Like, if you get a haircut, initially you're getting the haircut for yourself, but if you knew no one would approve of it once you got it, you probably wouldn't get it again.
Oh, no, they make me want it more.
That would make you want it more.
If no one approved of it?
Like, if they didn't approve of it because it looked horrible.
Did it truly look horrible, period, or just to them?
For the sake of the conversation, let's say it looked horrible. Like, extremely unflattering.
Because to one person, it's going to look great. In a very roundabout way, there is someone out there for everyone. Never know.
No, that's definitely true.
that's so silly.
Yeah, that's definitely true. There's nothing in the world that didn't have one fan.
Mm-hmm.
But initially, if you just got a really bad approval rate the moment you stepped out the door for like a pair of pants you wore, I think for the average person, it would stop them from wearing it.
You should have seen how I look today. I'm sure most people disapprove.
So, like, we do things for ourselves, but we can't deny that the satisfaction of other people approving of it drives us.
Yes, okay, yeah. Instinctually, even, yeah.
Yes, it even makes you feel good. Like, I think there were studies of people with, like, suits on or, like, evening wear and how it relates to their self-esteem. And
When you dress better,
you feel better. So you feel better because you get more compliments, you get more stares.
It
does feed into your self-esteem. So, like, we kind of do stuff because we know it works outwardly.
Right.
And so that's what you're saying. Like, if you were to go shoe shopping with me,
mm-hmm.
you would get a kick out of seeing someone else get a kick out of it.
I mean, yeah, I definitely like going for the wow factor, of course. I like being the weirdo. Stepping back from that, what I would actually enjoy if I went out shopping with any gentleman, I should say, doesn't matter, friend, boyfriend, whatever, is I have discovered, really, I've kind of always known, but only within the past few years, now that I've had more intimate partners willing to do it, is definitely cross-dressing men. I think also because I'm very spoiled, I will say, that I date a lot of macho, sexy-ass men that are fitness models, bodybuilders. Oh, that sounds so terrible. I sound like such an asshole. But it's very true. But I love watching them wear heels, or having them wear my heels, my dresses. I love sitting there and painting their nails, putting lipstick on them. Ooh, I get so turned on. And the fact that they're letting me do... Yes. On so many levels, yes. But I've also always said that my dream partner is a transgender woman, because I bat for both sides, and like a beautiful woman with a penis is the perfect human in the entire world. So maybe that's where it stems from. I don't know.
And that's a whole nother topic, but it's relatable. Yeah. Like you are who you are and you can't deny it.
Oh, absolutely not. And yeah.
That's pretty much the basis of all of this.
Yes. So yay, podcast.
So we are actually going to end right there. Underwoman and I can talk for hours and hours. And so this is actually only part one. We have not even gotten to listener, viewer questions or anything yet. So we dive into that on part two. And then we also discuss, I should say, frustrating interaction I had within the kink community, within the just sex worker community, I guess I should say. So we talk about that a little bit more and wrap things up from there. But I hope you enjoyed. And as I stated in the beginning, feel free to always give feedback. But please like, subscribe, all those things. And I have a free OnlyFans. I have a VIP OnlyFans. So you can find me either way. Also my Instagram, Cash App, all those things I will link below. But I hope everybody has a fabulous holiday. And we will talk soon.